It's time at TalkZone for more world-changing leadership with Our Global Hope. Here again, your host, Dr. Henrik Mann.
We're back with our guest, Mr. George Frazier, president of FrazierNet and author of Click, 10 Truths for Building Extraordinary Relationships. And we're discussing matters of the human condition and also matters of relational intelligence. I want to invite our listeners to not call in this week, but to call in next week when we're live again. And George, in your book, Click, you make a major point of distinguishing the mindset of networking from the mindset of clicking with other people. Can you help our listeners understand what you mean by that?
Yeah. I think the goal of all networking, said simply, is to click with people. Clicking, I define it in my book as one and one makes 11 and not two. And in the book, I also distinguish between what clicking or connecting is as it compares to what networking often is in terms of how we experience it. So if you were to write two columns, the first column would be clicking and the second column would be networking as it often is. Clicking under that is sharing common ground. We tend to bond with those who have similar dislikes and experiences and likes and regarding, people, places, and things. That's what clicking is. Networking, on the other side of the ledger, is sort of superficial. Your relationships may never reveal similar likes or go deeper than some friendly chit-chat, all right? So, one, clicking is sharing common ground. Networking often is very superficial. Clicking is values-based. You team up with the people who share your values and principles, and you focus on matters of the heart before, goals in the head. Versus networking often, Doc, is goal-based. Okay, you interact with someone in search for leads to make a deal, to get a job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what networking often is. And so networking has really gotten a bad name in America, I believe. Clicking, another element of clicking that's different than what networking often is under networking there's what I believe to be is assumed trust. You believe fundamentally in the good of people first. That's one of the truths in the book is I trust you first. You must earn my distrust. Okay. Now that's completely the opposite of what we're taught. So networking on the other side of the ledger is often what I call earned trust. You are guarded until people prove themselves trustworthy. Now, I really operate exactly the opposite. When I meet you, I trust you are who you say you are, that you are morally grounded and spiritually rooted, that you can do what you say you can do, and I believe you. Now, have I been burned by that kind of sort of unvarnished trust? Yes, I have, certainly. There have been people who I've met in life and who were not who they say they were. And I've lost as a result of that. But what I've gained because I have approached life with that truth far outweighs by 10 times anything that I've ever lost as a result of making people, earn trust. Clicking is what I believe to be synergistic, and that is both people bring something to help the other person, and together your efforts don't make two, but they make 11. One and one makes 11. Versus networking is often what I call or consider to be compromise, where two people come together. I give up something, you give up something, and together we have one and a half. All right, so I just don't think that we need compromised relationships. We need synergistic relationships. When Paul Allen met Bill Gates and they built a relationship, together they created Microsoft and the World One. When Steve Wozniak met Stephen Jobs, together they created a powerful relationship and then they created Apple, and the world won. So you had a win, win, win. Paul Allen won, Bill Gates won, and the world won. You see? So synergistic versus compromise is what clicking is all about.
Also, you know, George, I'm thinking that it's also important for our listeners to hear that this really can work across lines of diversity, especially racial diversity. I was a pastor who had an African-American worship leader, and I love this man as my brother, as my friend, and I had to pay the price for that politically in some cases. And as I think about you being the leader of the foremost African-American networking group, I'm wondering if you can speak to how clicking works across lines of diversity.
Yeah, well, everything that I'm talking about really is colorless. No question. These principles, these thoughts, these ideas, the things that we're talking about really apply to humanity, to any human being. Now, in the case of African Americans, we have some very special challenges in the context of our community that come from literally centuries of divide and conquer, separation, destruction of one's history and thus humanity. And we have passed on this thinking in our community, and we've passed it down from generation to generation. So if you're sitting privately among African Americans, you will often hear them speak to this whole crab in the barrel, negative self-imagery and self-hatred that we have, that exists so much in our community. Not amongst all black people, but among too many black people. So much of what I talk about and teach when I speak on the power and importance of relationships and networking, I speak to culturally specific audiences, be they African American, be they Latino, be they Asian, is the need to love each other, to love who you are. You see, if I do not love me, there's no way that I can love you as another person that is of my same culture. And because when I look at you, you become a reflection of me. So I think self-love, community love, loving of one's culture and having pride in from whence one has come is critically important. It is foundational to building any group, to building any community, to building any culture. It is critical to connecting the dots in that community or culture so that you can leverage more effectively your collective resources and intellectual capital, because all of the strength is in networks. It is not in this whole Eurocentric notion of survival of the fittest and this whole notion of individuality. Not that individuality from a creation and creative standpoint is not important. That is, of course, that's important. But where real community strength is, where real cultural strength is when people are working together, linked together in a common bond of trust and the effective leveraging of resources. And this is really an area, a very sensitive area, specifically in the African American community and in the Latino community. It is not so much of an issue in the Jewish community. It is less of an issue in the Arab community, or the East Indian community, and Asian communities. But there is a lot of sort of infighting that goes on among specific those two cultural groups that I mentioned, and that needs to be assuaged, that needs to be understood, that needs to be gotten over, that needs to be, in a sense, fixed, that needs to be understood at a whole different level so that we can truly take our people and strengthen our people, because I deeply believe, Doc, that the stronger black people are, the stronger America is. Just as the stronger Irish are, the stronger America is. Just as the stronger Hispanics are, the stronger America is. So to make our community strong, We are the ones responsible for that. I deeply believe that we are the only ones responsible for our success or failure, that we cannot be dependent upon others to strengthen us. That is our responsibility. We are the cake. Anything else that comes into any community is icing on the cake, but we must be the cake. The government is not responsible for our lives. It has a role in our lives because everybody pays taxes and everybody expects a return on their investment. But the government is not the cake. It is icing on the cake. We are the cake. So that means speaking to, articulating ways, and showing by example ways that we can network more effectively, connect the dots, use the tremendous resources that the Creator has given us so that we could take our people to the next level and therefore strengthen this multicultural chain called America.
Could you share with our listeners your general assessment of how President Obama is doing? Because I clearly see some connections between your life and his life, as well as Martin Luther King Jr., and I want to draw some connections through the conversation we're having.
I think President Obama is amazing. He is absolutely amazing. He has a gift for language, a gift for studying situations. His intellectual heft is, he may be one of the brightest presidents ever. Not the brightest, but certainly one of the brightest. I think what he has done to heal some of the racial wounds in America has been remarkable. I think things will be better because he was and has been and hopefully will continue to be through a second term the leader of the free world and president of the United States. Is he facing tremendous challenges? Oh yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that I have lived in 65 years to have a president facing quite the breadth and depth of challenges that he's facing. Will he overcome those? Yes. Will he think them through? Yes, absolutely. Will we be better off because he's there? Yes, I believe absolutely in my heart of hearts. Did I have doubts that he could ever be elected president? Make no mistake about it. I was not an early Obama supporter. I just did not believe that America was ready to elect an African-American male. I absolutely thought in my own mind that they would elect a white female before America would elect a black male. So I was not, so I've got to fess up.
I had the same opinion, so I'm right in the same boat with you.
I have to be honest. And then once he, you know, won Iowa and a number of other traditional places that would, you know, would not traditionally elect someone, you know, of his hue, I was sold, and then became, a fair weather friend, like most African Americans, quite frankly, because most African Americans, even the most politically astute, and I hang out with some of the most politically astute, some of the most politically powerful African Americans, everybody from Charlie Rangel to Jim Clyburn. I mean, even those folk could not believe what they were what they were seeing with their own eyes and hearing with their own ears. So he is special, and he was created, I believe, for this moment in time, for him to rise as he has risen from really obscurity, relatively speaking, politically speaking, to be leader of the free world. In this period of time, at this moment in time, to me, is almost tantamount to a miracle.
And if you ask, it's an example of clicking. And as we go into our second break, I want to think about that a little more with you, about how President Obama has clicked with so many people across so many lines of diversity. I want to remind our listeners that our listener call-in line is not working today, but we'll be back live again next week, and that you can learn more about our show at www.ourglobalhope.com. We'll be right back with the fabulous George Frazier for more World-Changing Leadership Talk.